begin with our prayers. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Welcome back, everyone. And I'm remembering to say welcome to the audience who is watching the recording later on. We'll begin with our opening verse. Kakkalunalankriyate, kakkalunalankriyate, drishta drishtartha sadhana patiyan. Drishta drishtartha sadhana patiyan amuya kanthasthitaya amuya kanthasthitaya prashnotara ratnamalikaya prashnotara kanthagatairapi asubhihi kanthagatairapi asubhihi kasya hi atmana shakyate jetum kasya hi atmana shakyate jetum murkhasya shankitasya cha vishadino vakrutagnyasya vishadino vakrutagnyasya kasaduhu kasaduhu sadvrutah sadvrutah kamadhamam achakshate twasad tu asadvrutam kenajitam jagadetat satyatitikshavata pumsa satyatitikshavata pumsa kasmaina mamsi devaha kurvanti kasmaina mamsi devaha kurvanti dayapradanaya dayap kasmad udvegasyat kasmad udvegasyat samsararanyatas sudhiyah samsararanyatas sudhiyah kasya vashe prani ganaha kasya vashe prani ganaha satya priya bhashino vinitasya satya priya bhashino kvasthatavyam kvasthatavyam nyaye pathi drishta drishta labhadaye nyaye pathi drishta drishta labhadaye kondaha kondaha yo akaryatah ko badhirah yo hitani nashrunoti ko mukah yakale priyani vaktum na janati yakale priyani vaktum. So we saw up to here last time who is considered to be somebody who is dumb or who doesn't have the power of speech. And the answer was one who does not know how to say or what to say at the right time, at the right moment. And we saw the example of even Brihaspati, the guru of the gods. If Brihaspati said something inappropriate or did not know what to say at the right time, he would be subject to disgrace and infamy, not for a short period of time, but for eternity. So it was just emphasizing. So we've seen several verses, and today also we're going to see a lot more verses, the value of speech. Proper speech, kind speech, measured speech, Many verses in this text seem to be talking about that, and I think that's very significant because most of our day, no, I shouldn't say most, a bulk of our day goes in what? Interacting with people. Unless you're living by yourself, you're still interacting with your own mind, right? You're still speaking to yourself, so to say. And then what is the language you're using? So developing this skill of speaking kindly, of speaking only when it is beneficial, it's very important. And I think that's why so many verses are dedicated to right, proper speech. And then also to danam. Danam because it was a very important part of their livelihood, you know, especially the priests and the teachers and the sadhus. They depended on society to support them. So obviously this text is written by somebody who may have been, even though it's attributed to Shankaracharya, there's a little doubt about that. So giving generously so that you can support others, so that you can support society. So danam also, a lot of verses talk about danam. Kim danam, anakangsham, anakangsham, kim mitram, yo nivarayati papat, yo nivarayati papat. So kim danam, what is charity, what is giving? Anakangsham. Akanksha is expectation, anakangsha without expectation. So without expecting anything in return. Danam is not a transactional giving. True danam is not a transactional giving. And what I mean by that, so if somebody, you hear of somebody who's made a big donation, say to a building of a new wing in a hospital. And obviously that's like several in the thousands or millions of dollars. It seems on the surface that it's a very charitable act, which is true. It is a charitable act. But what if this person wants their name to be displayed prominently in that wing, or if they want the wing to be named after them? So that's a transactional activity, expecting public recognition. So this kind of danam, this kind of giving comes with strings attached. And we see a lot of that going on in politics these days. I'm not going to get there, but there are many examples that you can see. So this kind of danam with akanksha, with an expectation, is like you have that saying, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And that is not what true danam is. And Sri Krishna describes this a little further in the Bhagavad Gita. We saw in a prior class what sattvika danam is. What is the highest form of giving is giving when it just needs to be given, giving at the right time, to the right person, at the right place, without expecting anything in return. So this was the very next verse. This chapter 17, verse 21, talks about rajasik danam. And I will chant it. You can chant after me. Yattu pratyupakarartham, yattu pratyupakarartham, phalam uddishya vapunaha, phalam uddishya vapunaha, diyate cha pariklishtam, diyate cha pariklishtam, Taddanam rajasam smritam, rajasam smritam. Yat tu, but, so the verse is continuing from the sattvika. So this chapter is talking about the three types of penance, sacrifice, tapas, danam, and faith. So the first verse, the verse prior to this spoke about sattvika danam, and here is saying, Tu, on the other hand, yat diyate, that which is given, prati upakarartham. We saw the similar word, similar to akanksham. upakarartham, expecting a return, expecting a favor, prati, towards oneself, va punaha, or again, phalam uddishya, for the sake of some result or for the sake of some service. So when you pay somebody for a job they've done, you wouldn't call it a danam, right? You're just paying them because they did some service for you, and that's just a fair transaction. But if you give expecting something back in return, that is equivalent to equivalent to giving with some strings attached. Diyate cha diyate, and which is given, pariklishtam. Pariklishtam means given with reluctance, unwillingly. It's I can't think of a good example. Nobody's going to put a gun to your head and say, hey, you have to give. So, but that's not a great example. So just maybe you're giving to look good in society, to get a good name. And you don't really want to give, but you're giving out of that sense that, hey, people should think good about me. So that kind of danam, that danam rajasam smritam, that danam is considered to be rajasika, not true danam. And the second half of this verse, kim mitram, who is a friend? And we would normally, conventional thinking, we would think, we would say that somebody who helps us at a time of need is a friend, which is fine. But here it says, yaha nivarayati, the one who prevents us, nibru, one who brings us back or prevents us from what? Papat, from adharmic activities, from committing wrong deeds. So a friend is one who shows us the right way and who prevents us from going down the adharmic path, one who pulls us back or reminds us of what dharma is, what is the right way. And this friend, usually we think of a friend outside of our family or relatives. But this friend can be in anyone who shows us the right path can be a friend. It can obviously include parents who hopefully have trained us, who've given us those values very early on. Our teachers, many times as we're growing up, our teachers instill value in us. Sometimes it's your children. Many times as we grow older, a little bit of thinking that I am much wiser than my 23-year-old. Who is he or she to tell me what is the right thing? So we can prevent growing. We prevent ourselves from growing if we block off what our children. Of course, sometimes very young children, obviously. Actually, I take that back. Even sometimes very young children. I remember in one children's class here many years back, something about environmental consciousness. The topic that I was talking about was how do you be environmentally conscious? And in this country, they really taught about the three R's, reduce, recycle, reuse. So this is something that I was taught by the children because in India, you know, growing up in India, we didn't have this concept. Now, of course, everybody is becoming quite conscious, actually much more conscious in other countries. So listening, hearing something from your children, as long as it is the right thing, they can be your friend. Your boss can be your friend. Why not? If he or she has something of value to offer, why not listen to that, take that? And of course, a guru. A guru is sometimes called a marga bandhu. Bandhu means friend, marga means path. So a guru is somebody who not only shows us the right path, but a guru walks along, is willing to walk along with us as we traverse this path. So a friend is anybody who prevents us going down that rabbit hole of adharma. Kolankarah, kolankarah, shilam. Kim vacha mandanam, kim vacha mandanam, satyam. So kaha alankaraha. Alankara is decoration or beautification, ornamentation. And it's obviously not referring to the makeup that many of us wear or the jewelry we wear to adorn ourselves, to beautify ourselves. Alankaraha is considered shilam. Shilam means character, is considered alankaraha, is considered ornamentation. And this is important to know that character is not something we are born with. As a baby, as a newborn baby, or even as a little toddler, not toddler, we don't come with character. We are taught how to build character by our elders, by parents, by teachers. So it's a skill that needs to be cultivated. And how do we cultivate this skill? Obviously, hopefully a lot of us in this room have got that instilled already in our childhood. But if you haven't, if you've not had the ideal family environment growing up, you can still cultivate it. You can develop it by living a disciplined life, by conforming to dharma. And this text that we are studying, Prashnottara Ratnamalika, the ratnas that we are gathering, is really this gems of cultivating, of improving, of getting better in dharmic activities. It's a garland. But this Ratnamalika, this ratna, these precious gems become a garland, not when you just wear them. Anybody can wear a garland, so that's the same. Anybody can wear a mala to look pretty, to look better. But it really becomes a garland when we imbibe the qualities, the attributes that are being mentioned in the text. So shilam is character, is an ornamentation, and we can build our character at any age. At any age. So we all of us have some basic, quote-unquote, goodness. But there are many aspects, many blind spots that all of us have that we can improve upon at any age. And I'm really emphasizing that because sometimes people say, oh, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s. What can I do now? This is how I've lived all my life. Just because you've lived all your life in a certain way, maybe in a not so dharmic way, doesn't mean you cannot change that. So we can build character at any time. And kim mandanam? Mandanam is what adorns or decorates, what embellishes what? Vacham, what embellishes our speech? And the answer is satyam, truth. And of course, satyam alone is not going to be enough. We've seen this before. It must go along with priyam, pleasant speech. It must go along with hitam, speech that is beneficial. It must go along with anudvegakaram, that which does not cause agitation, a speech that does not disturb. And we also added mitam, measured, a speech that is words that are just not a lot, where it's not needed. So remember from last class, the 4 W's and the 2 H's? Anybody remember? Let's ask the youngest person in the audience. Remember the 4 W's? So the 4 W's, who, why, what, when, and the 2 H's, how and how much. So this is, I tried to look for a come up with a mnemonic so they would remember. I just didn't try hard enough. So satyam, truth, adorns our speech, but it needs to come with all these other attributes of speech. And there is a Subhashita, a Sanskrit saying, which says, Priya Vak, I'll chant it tomorrow. Sometimes a verse in my head, I have to chant it. Priya Vakya Pradanena Sarve Tush. Okay, you can chant it too. Priyavakya Pradanena, Priyavakya Pradanena, Sarve Tushyanti Jantavaha, Sarve Tushyanti Jantavaha, Tasmata Deva Vaktavyam, Tasmata Deva Vaktavyam, Vachane Kadaridrata, Vachane Kadaridrata. So in the first line, Sarve Jantavaha Tushyanti, all beings, all creatures, Jantu literally means a creature, all beings, Tushyanti, are pleased by what? Going back to the first word, Priya Vak Pradanena, when they are given or when they are spoken to, they are given Priya Vakyam, pleasing words or pleasant words. Tasmat, therefore, Tadeva Vaktavyam, you should speak only pleasant words. Vachan ka daridrata, why miserliness? Why be a miser, vachane, with regard to your words, with regard to your priya vakyam? So some of us are very generous with our words. You know where I'm getting or going. What kind of words? Our caustic words, our criticisms. We are not miserly at all when we are critical, when we are upset. So obviously, criticism, you know, being critical is not a bad thing, but you need to be critical at the appropriate, with the appropriate subject matter, at the appropriate time. You've heard, or maybe sometimes you have this in your family, one spouse always feels the other spouse is constantly criticizing them. Or the children feel the parents are constantly criticizing them. So we are very, very generous in giving our criticisms. But this verse is, this Subhashita is saying, ka daridrata, why be miserly in giving kindness and giving our kind words in instead of our criticisms. Vidyut vilasita chapalam kim, vidyut vilasita chapalam kim, durjanas sangatihi, durjanas sangatihi, yuvatayascha, yuvatayascha, kulashila nishprakampaha, kulashila nishprakampaha, ke kale kalikale api, ke kalikale api, sajjana eva, sajjana eva. So the first half, kim chapalam, what is momentary, what is very fleeting, what is momentary, like what in the first word, vidyut, like lightning or a flashing thunderbolt. Vidyut vilasita. Vilasita is like a flash or a gleam. So what is momentary like lightning? And the answer he gives are two things. One is durjana sangatihi. Sangati, association, like satsanga, association with durjana, adharmic people. Those who take you off the path. So why is bad company considered to be momentary like lightning? Usually, so if somebody invites you to a bar and you don't really care to go, I don't know why I brought this, why this example comes to, I've never been to a bar, and I think many of you may not have either, but somebody invites you to a bar or tells you, come over for a drink. And it's a very temporary need of theirs that you're fulfilling. So such a person, the association, so once you go to the bar and you get drunk, your association with that person is over. So that person comes into your life very momentarily, like a flash of lightning. And when we pursue such activities, or when we pursue interactions with Durjana, the associations with Durjana, it's leading us to a path of adharma. I'm not saying having a drink is bad or not bad. That is entirely up to you. But if you, for those who have cannot stop after a drink or two. You know, there is science which shows that alcoholism is addictive and alcoholism destroys families. So you can, so such a person is comes for a short period of time and goes once their need is fulfilled. And what else? Yuvataya hacha, yuvataya, and yuvataya means youthfulness or youth. Almost all of us in this room, except maybe one person, a little younger person, knows how fleeting youth is. It seemed like just yesterday we were in our 20s and 30s, and it's gone. So youth is also very fleeting, like lightning. In the Yoga Vashishtha, which is the dialogue between Lord Rama and Sage Vashishtha, there are two metaphors that Rama mentions about youth. So the first, this is in the Vairagya Prakarnam, the first book on the section of dispassion. And Rama is comparing the two metaphors. One is youth is compared to a wave. Lola kallola chapalam parihiyate. So just like kallola, a wave, lola is moving, transient, is changing. Chapalam parihiyate, and it parihiyate, it disappears in a flash. So just like a wave comes, surges high, especially in high tide, comes with a roar, our youth comes with a roar. It's ironic, when we are in our 20s, we're really invincible, right? We think we are invincible. We never think about, oh, what's going to happen when I'm 50 or 60, when my body is not going, when my body is going to give way, when I might be losing my mind. So this youth comes with a, like a wave, roaring, and then quickly, parihiyate, chapalam, disappears. And this verse, and this, there's one more word that Rama mentions, it's mudha. Mudha means it's useless, without purpose and in vain. So just like this big roar tidal wave comes with a lot of noise, a lot of strength and vigor, but disappears quickly, so too youth comes with this burst of energy and disappears. And the second comparison he does is to an autumn cloud. The metaphor he gives is an autumn cloud, a sharan megha. A sharan megha, an autumn cloud. I didn't know what an autumn cloud was, so I had to look it up. I'm sure some scientists in the room know what an autumn cloud is. It's a cloud which comes, which looks very pretty, comes just before the monsoons, but it doesn't give rain. And it's responsible for like a day like today, which is very cloudy and gloomy, like a fall weather. So this cloud is very transient, fleeting, doesn't have substance. So to yauvanam, yauvanam, youth, patalavat, like a screen or like this autumn cloud, nanu gachati, surely goes away. So this cloud comes, youth comes, cloud looks pretty. In our youth, we look pretty, at least to our eyes, we look pretty. And what happens? Disappears very quickly. So this youth is like a roaring wave, which comes in with a lot of power, a lot of noise, crashes quickly, or sharan megha, an autumn cloud, that drifts in the sky, looks very pretty, but really is of no use, and then disappears without giving any fruit. So that's the first half of this verse. And the second half, kulashila nishprakampaha ke. Ke kulashila nishprakampaha. So ke, who are nishprakampa? Kamp means to shake. So nishprakampa, those who do not shake, who are not shaken, who do not waver from dharma, from conduct, from character. Kulashila, shila means character, we just saw that in the prior verse. Character of their family, kula literally means a lineage, but you can also take an individual person. So who does not waver, ke kulashila nishprakampaha, kalikale api, even at the time of Kali Kala, of the time of Kali Yuga, which implies at the time of great difficulties, at the great of, time of great struggle. And the answer is Sat Janaha Eva, good people alone, meaning people who are committed to dharma. And there is a story of King Harishchandra. I don't know if any of you have heard this. This was apparently one of the first movies that came about in Hindi. I don't know if they called it Bollywood. This was in 1913. This movie was made in 1913. And is thought to have inspired Mahatma Gandhi for its values that this king was representing. There are different sources as to where this King Harishchandra story occurs, including Puranas, including another text, I forget the name. So basically the story, there's a conflict between, in the version that I thought was, in the version that is most commonly mentioned, this King Harishchandra was a great emperor, and there was some conflict between him and sage Vishwamitra. And it ended up that the king had to pay any dakshina that the sage asked for. And of course, the sage, Vishwamitra is also known to be a very frightening rishi. I shouldn't say frightening, I should say he had a little bit of a temper. So he asks the king to give his kingdom. So King Vishwamitra ends up giving his kingdom. And I remember seeing this movie when I was very young, and it was like a tearjerker. You know, you're just so sad by everything this king goes through. He gives up his kingdom. He ends up selling his wife and only son. And then he ends up, imagine this emperor, ends up working in a crematorium, you know, doing the burning the bodies. And even more of a tearjerker, his wife comes there. His son, his only son, has died. The wife comes there with the child's body to cremate the body. And Harishchandra's value for his principles, for his the story is really showing that was so high. So you couldn't just burn a cremate a body without paying some money to the crematorium. He refuses to cremate his son's body because the wife couldn't give him the money that was needed. And so the gods, of course, all these Puranic stories, you have the gods watching from heaven. Amar Chitra Katha has this, right? Amar Chitra Katha, yeah. So you have the gods watch. Yeah, yeah. So the gods are watching. They're very impressed by his commitment to truth, giving up his entire kingdom and even his wife, son. His son dies. So they're very impressed that he held on to his truth in the midst of unimaginable suffering. So that's what that Kali Kale Api, even at the midst of real suffering, the gods appear. They bring his son back to life. They restore Harishchandra to the throne. Obviously, Vishwamitra goes away or takes his whatever he could. So the story really is focusing on the value of keeping a promise that is fulfilling dharma. Chinta maniriva durlabham ihakim. Chinta maniriva durlabham ihakim. Kathayami tat chatur bhadram. Kathayami tat chatur bhadram. Kim tat vadanti. Kim tat vadanti. Bhuyo vidhuta tamasa visheshena. Bhuyo vidhuta tamasa visheshena. So, iha, here, kim durlabham in the first line. What is here meaning in this world? What is durlabham? What is hard to get? What is rare? Chintamanihi eva, like a chintamani. So this chintamani literally means the jewel money is a jewel that grants whatever is thought, that is chintanam, what is thought. And it's considered, so apparently in the Puranic stories, this chintamani is a very precious stone. It's like a wish-fulfilling jewel that comes up during the churning of the Milky Ocean in the Puranas. So what is so difficult to get, so much, so durlabham, like a chintamani, and it says, kathayami tat, I will tell you, chaturbhadram, I will tell you the fourfold blessings or the fourfold good. And the answer has not come yet. There's another question. So in this verse, kim vadanti, what do they say, who, vidhuta tamasa visheshena, vidhuta tamasa, tamasa, vidhuta, by those who have shaken, what? Tamas, those who have shaken off the darkness of ignorance, visheshena specifically. What this word means is, what do the wise people repeatedly, bhuyaha, tat bhuyaha, again and again repeatedly urge or repeatedly say? Meaning, what are the signs that are given out or elaborated by the wise people? And the answer to both the questions are given in the next verse. Danam priyavak sahitam, danam jnanam agarvam, shamanvitam shauryam, vittam tyaga sametam, durlabham etat chaturbhadram, durlabham etat chaturbhadram. So this verse describes four things that are very difficult to get. To get meaning to cultivate, to develop. One is danam priyavak sahitam. So danam, we've seen charity. But charity, giving, not by itself, accompanied with sahitam priyavak, accompanied by kind words. So basically, if you're giving something, don't make the receiver feel bad about receiving it. That's what this is, dhanam, giving along with kind words. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, Shikshavalli, in the second half of a mantra, so this part of the Upanishad is instructions for graduating students. It says, Shraddhaya deyam, deyam, it should be given, gifts or charity should be given, Shraddhaya, with faith. Ashraddhaya deyam, ashraddhaya adeyam, do not give without faith. Shriya deyam, give shriya, plentiful. Whatever you're giving should be given in plenty. Hriya deyam, hriya, with modesty, with simplicity. Bhiya deyam, bhiya deyam, and with sympathy, without causing fear or hurt to the receiver. Samvida deyam, and also let there not be any disagreement in opinion, meaning let there be friendly feelings when you're offering a gift. Don't make the receiver, already when somebody asks you for something, they're not feeling great about it, right? If somebody asks you for financial help, they're already in a position, in a place where they're feeling, most of the time, of course, there are people who'll ask you for help all the time and take advantage, which is a whole different ballgame. But somebody who's asking out of need or necessity, it's already difficult for them to ask for help. And then if you make it worse by saying, look, I'm giving you this much, look how great I am, you don't have to do that. And then to add to that, we saw earlier, don't expect it back. When you give, it's given. That is what dhanam is. The second trait that is hard to come by or that needs to be cultivated, jnanam agarvam. Jnanam, knowledge, agarvam, which is without humility or with knowledge without pride or arrogance, meaning knowledge with humility. So you have somebody who has a PhD and who has a lot of pride associated with it. And I find this funny in India. Even I know a PhD is a doctorate degree. You get to put the doctor's sign in front of your name. But in India, even if you... In India, whether you're an MD or a PhD, you're addressed as doctor. And I find that a little strange. India, maybe other countries as well. And I know we've heard a short form, what PhD... Obviously, it stands for Doctor of Philosophy, but there are other terms that what PhD stands for. And I know somebody who's told me many times it stands for permanent head damage. I found another one, Pizza Hut delivery. So you can have a PhD and still be a delivery person, not showing off about your scholarship or your jnana. Kshamanvitam shauryam. Shamanvitam is titiksha, endurance, forbearance, patience, which we saw in the last class. Shauryam, power or strength, courage. So strength, many times people who are in power don't seem to have the patience, the endurance, the patience or the forgiving attitude that comes, that should be cultivated with power, shauryam. And then the last one, vittam tyaga sametam. Vittam is wealth, and wealth is considered a blessing when it is tyaga sametam, only when it is accompanied with tyaga, with giving, with donation, with sacrifice. And etat chaturbhadram, these four jewels are like chintamanis, which are very hard to come by. Kim shochyam, karpanyam, sati vibhave kim prashastam, audaryam. So kim shochyam, to grieve. So what is to be grieved over? Obviously, it seems a little strange that you should be grieving over something. It means what should we strive to come out of? What are we trying to get over? Karpanyam. Karpanyam is miserliness, somebody who is a miser. What we're trying to come over is the incapacity to give generously. And I wanted to add, so we normally think of somebody who is a miser who is holding on to stuff, his things, his or her things, wealth. I would like to extend that to me, to karpanyam is to include miserliness of mind and thought. And what does that mean? It means when we have attitudes that are very narrow-minded, that are, we have othering attitude, we have othering meaning, we think of somebody or we think others, somebody who doesn't wear the kind of clothes we do, doesn't look like us, doesn't have a job like our job, or doesn't has a different, believes in a different religion, or is of a different race, speaks a different language. So this othering attitude based on religion, race, ethnicity, skin color, gender, sexuality, we other the LGBTQAI community, because it's not, unless you are happen to be LGBTQ. So how do we come or overcome this miserliness of both giving things and our thoughts? Of giving things, obviously, the more you give, the more you'll come out of it. How about thoughts? How do we get over biases and bigotry? One is educating ourselves. That is really key to understanding what the other person is about. And it's a shame so many families get broken up when their children, adult children, want to marry someone outside of their caste or their religion. Or if a son or daughter comes out as being LGBTQAI. Families are broken apart because parents are unable to understand the science behind a lot of this. and that bias continues. And the other thing, of course, parents and families, what will other people think about me if my child comes out as LGBTQAI? Or what will others think if my child marries out of this religion? Others have their own problems. They're not going to be worried about what's going on in your life. So coming over miserliness, overcoming miserliness of thought by watching our minds and constantly catching it when it goes to these biases and prejudices. And Kim Prashastam, what is truly praiseworthy, sati vibhave, what is truly praiseworthy, sati vibhave, when there is affluence. So in a wealthy person, what is truly praiseworthy, audaryam. Audaryam is generosity or magnanimity, consideration for others. So if the richest person, I think Elon Musk is the richest person in the world right now. I'm not sure, anybody can correct me if they're wrong. His net worth, $800 billion plus. If he writes out a check for $1,000, exactly, nothing. So is that truly praiseworthy? But if somebody has just $10 and they give you $1, that's like 10% of their net worth. So that is truly what is considered praiseworthy. Kah pujyah, kah pujyah vidvabihi. Sorry, that was a question. Kah pujyah vidvabihi, kah pujyah vidvabihi, swabhavata sarvada vinitoyah. Svabhavata sarvado vinito yaha. So vidvat bihi, by the vidwans, by the wise ones, kaha pujyaha, who is to be revered? So who do the learned ones praise? And the answer is yaha, yaha sarvada vinitaha, the one who is always humble or modest, who is not conceited, not like that obnoxious PhD. Svabhavataha, by nature, and this is very similar, this sarvada vinitaha is similar to jnanam agarvam, the one we saw in the earlier verse, the one who has knowledge but without the pride. So this scholarship can come with a lot of pride for many well-educated, learned people. And we saw in an earlier class how sage Narada's learning or scholarship caused a lot of pride in him, and then how he got insulted and he was led to his humiliation. So there is a section in the Chandogya Upanishad where there is the story of Shvetaketu. Many of you might know the story that begins, the text begins like this. In section 6. So this Shvetaketu was sent at a very young age, at the age of 12, to a guru's, to go and learn with the guru. And this was the tradition in ancient times, that and Pooja Swamiji said, very, very ingenious method, clever tradition that Indians have come up with. When the child is entering 12, entering their terrible teens, you send the child off to the guru's ashram. So the child lives there, and this usually applied only to male children because that was the tradition at that time. So the boy lives there for 12 years with the guru. Parents don't have to deal with the teenage years at all. So this was a very ingenious system that in ancient culture came up with. So he goes to his Uddalak, Shvetaketu goes to his to the guru's ashram to study the Vedas, Veda Patashala, and he returns when he's 24. And he studied for 12 years, and he's become very proud, and he knows all the Vedas, you know, he's this smart aleck. And his father, Uddalaka, sees this in him, and he asks Shvetaketu, "Oh Shvetaketu, now you've become a great scholar. You think you are a great scholar, you've studied for 12 years, but did you ask your teacher for that teaching by which ashrutam, what is not heard, shrutam bhavati, becomes heard, amatam, matam bhavati. What is not heard, not thought of, becomes known, becomes thought of. Avignatam, vignatam bhavati. What is not known becomes known. So basically, Udalaka, the father, is asking his son, do you know Brahman? Because he studied 12 years with the Vedas. And then the next few verses, Udalaka explains a little bit more what he's talking about. Shvetaketu is listening to him, maybe about 3 verses or 4 verses more. And Shvetaketu, the son, says, still the pride and arrogance talking, he says, if the guru had known this, wouldn't he have taught me that? So he's telling him, the father, the guru didn't know this. So he didn't teach me that. Look at the pride and the arrogance that comes with a little bit of learning. Really, humility with regard to learning is to acknowledge you know a little, but how much more do you not know? In any field, you know, we can be PhDs in our fields, but if you look at everything else that you don't know, there's no place for this pride. So then he says, still showing, then he asks his father to explain the truth about Brahman to him. And I think maybe this is a good place to stop because the next verse is a little bit more involved. So just a quick announcement. So we are at verse, 26. The next, I think right now we only have the PDF on, for those of you who are writing and printing notes, up to verse 30. By sometime this week, the remaining verses will also be uploaded to the website. So just wait until before you come for next class if you want to download the document. Okay. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritangamaya. Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi. Thank you all for coming. We'll have Swamiji's meditation in a few minutes.